I want you to take your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have, and I want you to open it to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2. We're going to read Luke chapter 2. We're going to read actually verse 25 through verse 28. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Look what the Bible says. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel," or he was waiting for the Messiah, the Savior, to come. "And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said," I'll read verse 29, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." Are you ready for Christmas? You know, when you ask somebody that question, "Are you ready for Christmas?" They're thinking, he's asking me, do I have all my Christmas shopping done? Do I have all my Christmas presents wrapped? Have I mailed all my Christmas cards? Have I baked the cookies? Am I ready for Christmas? Let me give you five signs that you're not ready for Christmas. These are just indicators that perhaps you're really not ready for Christmas. Number one, the Halloween decorations are on the front porch. Number two, you don't have a clue what to get your wife. Number three, you hope Santa is real and he comes through. Now, this is age appropriate, but it's true. You don't have any AA batteries. And number five, the refrigerator is empty. If it is, you're not ready for Christmas. Now, you know what's amazing, folks? When you ask, do you have all your Christmas shopping done? Are the presents wrapped? Are the cookies baked? The family on the way? Everybody excited about Christmas? Really, none of that has nothing to do with being ready for Christmas. It really, none of that, folks, has nothing to do with being ready for Christmas. There was a man in the Bible, a man that I've never preached a sermon about as much as I've preached on Christmas. His name was Simeon. And Simeon was a man who was ready for Christmas, because Simeon was the man in the Bible who literally held Christmas in his arms. This man held the very first Christmas. He held Christmas in his arms. Now, in order to be ready for Christmas, I am convinced there are five things that have to be reality in our lives. Number one, to be ready for Christmas, you've got to be saved. To really be ready for Christmas, you've got to be saved. You say, "Pastor, what are you talking about, saved?" Well, look what the Bible says about this man, Simeon. It says, "Behold, there was a certain man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was just." The same was just. Now, what makes us just? According to Romans 5 and 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith." You know what that word justified means? It means just as if you've never sinned. Just as if you've never sinned. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, folks, if you're ready for Christmas, it's because you're saved. Now you say, "Pastor, what are you talking about?" I remember years ago, I wanted to talk to a man about being saved. He was an older man, and his children and grandchildren were afraid he was going to die and not know the Lord. And they sent me to see him. And I called this man's name, and I said, "Sir, I want to talk to you about your heart. I want to talk to you about your heart." He said, okay, Pastor Benny. I said, I want to know that your heart is right. And he said something to me. He said, well, sir, I got to be honest with you. He said, I've had some kidney problems. I've had some kidney stones. He said, I've had some back surgeries. But he said, as far as I know, my heart's as strong as it ever was. And I said, no. That's not the type of heart I'm talking about. I'm talking about Romans 10, 9 and 10. That says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now I want to ask you something. Are you ready for Christmas? But I want to ask you the most important question. Are you saved? Now notice, I didn't ask you if you was a church member. I didn't ask you if you'd been baptized. I didn't ask you if you was a good person. I didn't ask you if you were raised in a Christian home. I didn't ask you if your mom and dad were Christians. I didn't ask you if you was a tither. I didn't ask you if you read your Bible every day. I ask you this question, are you saved? Because one day, we're going to stand before God. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know something. If God looks at you and says, why should I let you into my kingdom? There's not but one correct answer. If you say, I was a good person, I was baptized, I was a giver, not any of that will get you into heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that will get you into heaven is you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Singing in the choir won't get you to heaven. Preaching in the pulpit won't get you to heaven. Teaching Sunday school won't get you to heaven. Being an usher, being a deacon won't get you into heaven. The only thing that will get you into heaven is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You're either a saint or ain't. Folks, I want you to understand something. You're not ready for Christmas. You said, Pastor Benny, you ought to see my tree. I'd love to see it. You're not ready for Christmas. The family's coming. I'm glad they're coming. Pastor Benny, we've got a honey-baked ham. That's wonderful. But I want you to know something. You're not ready for Christmas if you're not saved. Let me tell you something else. Why Simeon was ready for Christmas is he was saved. But while Simeon was ready for Christmas, not only was he saved, but he was surrendered. Look what verse 25 says. It says there was a certain man named Simeon. He was just, but it doesn't stop there. It says he was devout. What is devout? It's a burning passion for Jesus. It's a burning passion for Jesus Christ. I looked at what Webster said about surrender. This is what the Webster Dictionary said. It said, to yield to the power, control, or possession of another. To yield to the power, control, or possession of another. It's Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's when I reach the point, folks, that I die to me so I can have a greater life. It's when I die to me so that I can have a greater life. And when can you have abundant life? Jesus didn't come just to give you life. He came to give you abundant life. And that abundant life, you have to move past the comma and say, no, I die to myself. I want what God wants more than I want what I want. Because what he wants is what I would want if I had sense enough to want it. I was reading about an educator by the name of Judson Deventer. He was in Sharon, Pennsylvania. He was an educator, but not only was he a teacher, but he was a supervisor over the art in all the public schools in Sharon, Pennsylvania. But he had a gift. He had a gift of music. Not only as a musician, but as a singer. And God was really dealing with his heart to walk away from his security and minister through music and through his musician skill. He gave this testimony. He said, "For 5 years I wavered. For 5 years I struggled." But he said, "After 5 years, I just said, 'God, you can have all of me. You can have all of me.'" You know what some of us need to do this Christmas? God, you can have all of me. God, you can have all of me. And he said, "I totally surrendered." And he said, "God gave me a song. And I wrote the song, 'All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.'" You know when all's tough? When all becomes specific. It's easy to say, "I surrender all." But it's tough to say, "I surrender that child to you." It's tough to say, "God, I surrender my finances to you. God, I surrender my future to you. God, I surrender my ministry to you. God, I surrender everything to you. I don't understand, God, why I'm going through a divorce, but I surrender to you. I don't understand why I got terminated, but I surrender to you. I don't understand why I was betrayed, but I surrender to you. I don't understand why I was hurt, but God, I surrender it to you." Because get this, victory is won through complete surrender. Victory is won through complete surrender. Let me tell you why he was ready for Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, he was ready for Christmas because he was saved. But he was ready for Christmas because he was surrendered. But he was ready for Christmas because he was spirit sensitive. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Well, look what verse 25 says. It says, "There was Simeon, the same man, he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." Now wait. "And the Holy Ghost was upon him." You said, "Pastor Benny, when I got saved, didn't I get the Holy Spirit?" But I want to ask you something. Does he have you? You got him, but does he have you? See, I want you to understand, surrender takes place before the Holy Spirit was upon him. The word Simeon literally means one who hears. One who hears. Let me tell you something. God wants every one of us to be spirit sensitive and to be guided by the Holy Spirit. God wants you, sir, to be spirit sensitive and to be guided by the Holy Spirit. It's not enough arbitrarily just to do what you want. It's not enough arbitrarily to do just what I want. No, we need to be spirit-led. Now get this down. Get this down. Look what verse 27 says. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple." Wait. What led Simeon to the temple? The Holy Spirit. "And when he got there, there was a family walking in. It was Mary and Joseph, and they were carrying a baby." Folks, it wasn't coincidental that Simeon was there that day. He came by the Spirit. And what I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, God wants to lead our lives. And if we're led by the Holy Spirit, we'll be at the right place at the right time. Romans 8 and 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." It's not enough, folks, just to do what we want to do. We need to be sensitive to God's Spirit. You say, "No, wait, Pastor. Has God spoken to you in an audible voice?" No, no, no. It's always been louder than that. And God will speak to your heart. God will speak to your heart. Let me tell you, this week, God told me He wanted me to do something. He wanted me to give some money. But the problem was, I already had another place for that money. And when He spoke to my heart about doing that for that situation, I said, "I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus." But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit would not let it go away. He was on me like white on rye. When I woke up, it was on my mind. When I went to bed, it was on my mind. It would not go away. Yeah. Folks, let me tell you something. You say, "Pastor, I keep messing up." Oh, you don't have to. Galatians 5 and 16, walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? It means moment by moment being sensitive to His promptings. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want you to understand something. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. This is not mystical. This is not spooky. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you, ladies and gentlemen. The Holy Spirit wants to direct your life. Yes, the Holy Spirit wants to do that. The Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, folks. There was a man in bed one night, and God told him, "Get up and go down to the railroad and preach." The problem was he lived in Chicago, Illinois, and it was cold. He said, "God, go down to the railroad and preach. It's cold. It's dark." He said, "Go down to the railroad and preach." He said, "I went down to the railroad. I preached in the dark. I saw nobody. I thought, this is ridiculous." But he said, "I preached." He said, it was, nobody was listening. I kind of know how he feels. Nobody was listening. He said, "I go back home." Years pass. He said, "I go hear the great preacher, Billy Sunday, who was the baseball player, converted to an evangelist, the Billy Graham of his day. Billy Sunday's preaching in an auditorium." And he said, "You know what brought me under conviction?" He said, "One dark night, I was sitting out by a railroad track, and I heard a preacher preaching the gospel." Let me tell you something, folks. You're not ready for Christmas. You're not ready for Christmas if you're not saved. You're not ready for Christmas if you're not surrendered. You're not ready for Christmas if you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. You're not ready for Christmas if you're not steadfast. You say, "Pastor, what are you talking about?" Well, let me tell you something. In verses 25 through verse 28, God told Simeon, "You're not going to die till you see the Christ." I don't know how long it was, but I believe days passed. I believe months passed. I believe years passed. I believe decades passed. And Simeon had to get discouraged. There had to be times he thought about throwing in his hands and quitting. But let me tell you, folks, if he had done that, he would have never had the opportunity to hold Christmas in his arms. Let me tell you something. You're not ready for Christmas unless you're steadfast. Steadfast. We live in a day of no commitment. People want to throw in the towel on their marriage. They want to throw in the towel on their ministry. They want to throw in the towel on everything. And they simply want to quit. But God is looking for some people that will claim the promises of God and hold on to the promises of God and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't understand, but I'm going to be steadfast and I'm going to trust you. Amen. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, how did you stay the pastor at Rock Springs 29 years? When I wanted to leave, I just stayed. And when the people wanted me to leave, I just stayed. And I made up my mind, I just wasn't going to quit. I'm going to be steadfast. Anybody can quit. But folks, there's benefits to sticking in there. There's benefits to sticking in there. I heard about a young couple, they fell in love and he got called into the military. He said, I've got to go away for a year. But he said, honey, every day for 1 year, I'm going to write you a letter. And when we get back, we're going to get married. And for 365 days, he wrote her a letter. And 365 days later, she got married. She married the mailman. But I want you to know, it's persistence that got the snail on the ark. And when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're traveling seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tin of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far, so stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things go wrong that you must not quit. You know, I'm ADD. I'm filled with all kinds of useless information. And I found out this week some information on a Chinese bamboo tree. Did you know when you plant a Chinese bamboo, the first year, it does nothing. The second year, it does nothing. The third year, it does nothing. The fourth year, it does nothing. But the fifth year, it grows 80 feet high. You know what I believe? I believe God's got some good things. But some people are quitting on the first year, the second year, the third year, the fourth year, and they're not waiting on the fifth year when the Chinese bamboo's going to hit 80 feet. It's amazing what God will do in your life if you just make up your mind, I'm going to stick in here. I'm going to trust God. God's got a good plan. Let me tell you something. You're not ready for Christmas unless you're saved. You're not ready for Christmas unless you're surrendered, spirit sensitive, and steadfast. But let me tell you something. You're not ready for Christmas unless you're satisfied. You said, Pastor, explain. I'll be glad to. Simeon, oh, I would have liked to have been Simeon. Can you imagine Simeon? God in the flesh. God in the flesh was in his hands. There's no doubt Simeon said, oh, it was worth the wait. But if you look at verse 29, here's a paraphrase. He held God in his hands. And he said, I'm ready to die now. I'm ready to die now. I'm satisfied. I'm ready to die. I want you to understand something. If you've got Jesus, you can say the same thing. You can say the same thing. Now let me explain. I want you to hear me clearly. I don't want to die today. So just, I don't want to be morbid, but I don't want to die today. You say, well, Brother Ben, you're a spiritual man. Well, I don't know about all that, but I know for certain I don't want to die today. No. Savannah Abigail came home for Christmas. Being with Savannah and Barbara for Christmas. I went yesterday and I got a honey baked ham. And a lady in our church, every year at Christmas, makes me divinity. And then yesterday at 5 o'clock, 5:30, there was a knock on the door. And another lady said, I felt impressed to bring you this banana pudding. I said, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. So I want to clarify something. I don't want to die today. But I want to say this unequivocally. I'm not afraid to die today. I'll leave here two ways. I'm going to have a massive heart attack. I really don't think that's how I'll go. I'll probably go in an automobile accident. Those drivers out there. I'll go one of those ways. But folks, when you hear, oh, Brother Benny's dead. No, no, no. I'm more alive than I've ever been. Because, see, folks, you're not ready for Christmas unless you know within your heart of hearts. We used to say in the hills of Tennessee, like a big old fat pig. Big old fat pig. Good shape to live, good shape to die. Amen? There was a preacher of days gone by. His name was J. Harold Smith. J. Harold Smith preached a message called God's Three Deadlines. J. Harold would say, deadline number one. Deadline number two. God's three deadlines. Get away from him. The Holy Ghost is going to kill him. It was a powerful message. One of the most powerful messages I've ever heard. God's three deadlines. When J. Harold Smith was in the fifth grade, he saw a little girl named Myrtis. And he said, boy, she's pretty. And J. Harold said, I want to marry her one day. And he did. But when he was in the fifth grade with Myrtis, he'd walk her home from school every day. He'd walk her home. He just loved walking Myrtis home from school. And one day, J. Harold acted up a little bit in school. And the teacher said, J. Harold, you got to stay after school today and clean the erasers. So he went to Myrtis. And he said, Myrtis, I can't walk you today. Because I've got to stay and clean the racers. It's going to take a little time. She said, well, J. Harold, I'll just walk real slow. He said, okay. They were married 60 some odd years. And she was dying. And this preacher said, Myrtis, I don't want you to die. Don't leave me, Myrtis. Don't leave me, Myrtis. She said, J. Harold, remember what I told you when I was in the fifth grade? I'll walk slow. It won't be long, you'll catch me. He did catch her. They're both in heaven now. I want you to understand something, folks. You're not ready for Christmas unless your heart's right with God. You're not ready for Christmas unless you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that your heart's right with God.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.